Blog Talk Radio.
52-yard try from the near hash mark to tie the game. 5 seconds left. Reyes the holder. Burns the snapper. It's back. Hold down. Kick is up. And it's plenty long. It's good! It's good! The Red Raiders have tied this game. They've come back from 38-7 down and send it into overtime.
Crabtree on the jailbreak. Here he goes. The 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. Forget it. Five. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
High snap, but he gets it away cleanly, although it's a wobbly kick. Morris takes it as 14. Sidestep one defender. He's got room to the 25, 30, 35, 40. Just a kicker to beat. The 40, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
8 seconds left. They got one timeout, so there's time to make one play to the middle of the field and call a timeout to set up a try, a field goal try. So Harrell in the shotgun from the 28. The throw goes to the right side for Crabtree. It's caught.
Oh, he breaks. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
Unbelievable.
Touchdown, Red Raiders. Michael Crabtree has done it. Michael Crabtree makes the catch at the five, breaks the tackle, and scores.
There's still 1 second on the clock for Texas Tech. Unbelievable, Michael Crabtree.
Oh, my gosh, can you believe that?
What's up, everybody? How's it going? Welcome into yet another edition of the Victory Bells Podcast. I'm Will McCain, as always, joined by my main man,
Matty Clare. What's up, Matt?
It's just Matt. Just Matt. No Matty.
Oh, it's just Matt. No Matty. No Matty. Can't go with Matty anymore.
My mom taught me when I started taking interest in young women as a boy, she told me that any girl that calls me Matty is not interested in me in that way. So from then on, I was like, okay, no more Matty.
Well, I guess that means I'm not interested in you. So I guess you can feel safe in that at least, I guess.
Yeah, well, I do. I feel good about it.
But anyway, you know, man, we finally got to spring football, as crazy as it is. It gets here before you know it every single year, and then here we are once again. So with spring football, you know, that means we also are going to start having junior days, and on top of that, you know, kids just coming in to visit and all those kind of things, and the things starting to heat up with the 2016 class. We're going to actually have a caller here in a little bit. Our guest is going to be Cypress, Cy Springs wide receiver Donnell Dunn, who's a guy that's going to be here this weekend. But yeah, man, I guess, you know, last weekend's junior day got canceled, and I think a lot of people, you know, including the coaching staff and a lot of kids that were going to visit last weekend were really disappointed they had to cancel it. But I think, you know, you kind of get maybe a blessing in disguise because you get some kids in here this weekend. Especially some, you know, Rivals 250, Rivals 100 kids that you might not have gotten in last weekend.
Yeah, you just have to push forward and you know, just kind of go from there. You know, you've got different school districts going into spring break next week and then the following week. So I guess depending where you are, heck, I mean, some of those kids in DFW, I mean, I know you guys have been getting some harsh weather too, but even kids in DFW
right.
have had the same equivalent of an extra spring break with 4 or 5 days off of school too. So, you know, it's affected not only just Texas Tech, and I think you'd mentioned that in your overview, which was well done, by the way. But you know, I mean, it's what are you going to do? I mean, it happened. You got to be safe. And anyone listening to this has made that trip on I-20 or that trip, you know, through the back ways from Houston or wherever else you come from in Texas, and you know, you don't want to be on those two-lane highways with freezing conditions just to get out for a one-day visit, but you know, I said it last time we talked, and I said it to anybody that asked. The kids that really want to check out Tech, they'll put it on their schedule. They'll get back out there. And I would say the majority of the kids that were scheduled to come have rescheduled for this weekend. So it's looking like the weather's going to even out there and should be a nice weekend in the South Plains.
Right, yeah. And like you said, you know, me sitting here in Lubbock today, you know, it's only like 35 degrees, but all the snow melts. It's been sunny all day, and supposed to be a little bit warmer tomorrow, so I think as long as everything kind of checks out in between here and Dallas, in between here in Houston and East Texas, I think they're going to get it in. Mm-hmm. I think everything is going to work out this weekend. But yeah, looking up and down the list. The three guys that everybody are going to talk about are going to be, Ulis Trinity, Rivals 100, 4-star defensive tackle Chris Daniels, and he's kind of the headliner of the group as far as, guys that you kind of stick out to a general person as far as talent. And then you obviously have TJ Vasher from Wichita Falls, who's a receiver, Rivals 250 receiver, who's going to make the two-and-a-half-hour drive out here out to Lubbock. And another guy is, outside linebacker Marvin Terry from South Oak Cliff, and one of those kids that obviously has a big connection with Emmett Jones, and going to make his trip out here this weekend. But, other than that, I think, people will kind of look at that and kind of focus on that. But I think there are a lot of other kids, especially receivers and offensive linemen, that, I think Tech likes quite a bit. And, like I pointed out in the preview for this weekend, like the Tech coaches really want to fill up on those two positions again, because, just to be honest, you're still just kind of so low in scholarship numbers on the offensive line and at receiver, even after you added what you added with the 2015 class. A couple guys obviously that stick out to me. The two guys that kind of stick out to me as far as offensive linemen are obviously the Anderson twins. That'd be Austin and Riley Anderson. And like I already said, you got TJ Vasher coming in here, who's a great wide receiver. And then a couple of guys that don't have offers. I guess Jordan Brown from Stillwater, Oklahoma, does have an offer, but then you got a couple guys like Jordan Whaley and Khalil Lacey. But I think it's a group that it really kind of is focused towards, what Tech really needs in this class, other than defensive line, which people have pointed out. But, like Level and AD said in the Matter report, as far as defensive linemen go, it's kind of a thing where until really September, October, unless a guy was already pretty obviously going to be on your radar, in the spring after his junior season, you're not really going to offer any more guys until, late in the season, just because there's so fewer guys on the defensive line as far as quality prospects, even than offensive line. It's the hardest position to recruit, in my opinion, and I think that's just kind of why you're not seeing as many of those guys on the visit lists or even kind of guys we're talking to right now,
Yeah, the offers are there, and it's just one of those things where I was watching that Madden report, and I wish I could watch the whole thing every week, but I'm glad I caught it this week, because that started kind of the wheels in motion in my head, and I was like, I'm gonna start saving a hard copy of these visit lists, because it'd be interesting to me to see how many kids visited on the first junior day, who ended up committing, who ended up where. Because It's just the time of year where, look at this list alone. You've got Chris Daniels is a no-brainer. He was just entered into the Rivals 100 after being not ranked. He's got an offer from everyone you can imagine. He's talking to everyone you can imagine. Well, he's coming to Lubbock. That's a first step in a good direction. I think anybody that follows this stuff or follows it closely enough to be on that podcast knows that, both you and I and most Tech fans are reasonable about those expectations. But then you jump to a kid like, we talked about Jordan Brown. That's a kid that's on nobody's radar. He just got his first offer.
Right.
Then you open up the huddle and you like what you see. And he's got size at 6'3", 200-something pounds. So, you look to that and you say, okay. And, that's a Spavital special, in my opinion, because he has a lot of ties to Oklahoma. And he's going to get the program back into that state a lot more predominantly this year. But for me, even if you look at Wichita Falls, you look at Clay Greathouse, I look at him and I see a good prospect. And I see a kid with great size who, I had to create a profile for him 2 weeks ago. But he's already getting looks by other Big 12 programs, and he's already been on a few visits as well. So, this time of year, there's kids that you don't even know about. This time of year, we didn't know who Jonathan Giles was. We barely knew who Devonta Hinton was. So, for me, I don't really look at, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's easy to point to those highly rated guys. But in terms of who they have on campus, that's what's most important right now. And who they'll have there in another week or so, that's important too. But really, without a spring game this year, you can't really point to that big, big weekend in Lubbock. But, with this many kids coming in and with the type of caliber 2017 you have coming in, there's some good work there.
I mean, we'd be fools to say that these are going to be the only kids in town. You just have to keep an eye on the weather, and we have to keep our heads up to see, you know, who else might be trying to take a visit. But I've already talked to at least 4 to 5 other kids who are trying, or if they don't make it this weekend, they're coming next weekend type of deal.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, it's just one of those deals where, you know, like I said off the top, it's spring break, so you got to see where they are. But to me, that's the interesting part of this year. You look at a kid like a Jordan Brown. You look at a kid like even a Donnell Dunn, who we're supposed to talk with, and he'll try to call in. I mean, Texas only offered 2, but that's a kid with over 1,000 yards receiving and over you know, a dozen touchdowns last year. I think he's very, very under the radar right now. And then you look at kids like an Austin Riley Anderson, who you mentioned. They're getting a new scholarship offer every single day, and that's not an exaggeration.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
So, you know, and this is their second time to visit. So the coaches are doing work. There's probably going to be some more defensive linemen. I know everybody points to that, but, you know, it's being addressed. I mean, you look at the offers, you look at the kids that we've been talking to lately, they're all at that outside linebacker, defensive end position, some defensive tackles. You know, you don't, like you said, you don't want to offer the world right now. You want to see, you know, who's interested. You want to, you know, make that, cast that net. And then there's another, you know, 5 to 6 kids that they're actually talking to that they have on the hook to possibly bring in for an offer as well.
Right, and I know you and I have kind of been, you know, hammering this nail the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks, but everybody just has to remember, until you really get to, you know, June, July, most of these kids, I mean, it's kind of in and out, you know, I'm here, I'm there, you know, all these kids are just trying to figure everything out as far as, you know, what, you know, I'm going to go visit every school in state to see, you know, what I like about this program, what I don't like about this program. And relationships are still being developed with a lot of these kids. And like you said, you know, there will be kids that Tech offers in, you know, November or even, you know, heck, even July, that you and I don't even know who they are right now. And I can just, and, you know, that's just kind of how it goes every single year. Don't get me wrong. It's still important that they have all these kids in this weekend. And I really do think this is, except for maybe, you know, actual, you know, spring game visits, this is one of the better junior day group of visitors that I've seen since I've been covering Tech, as far as just kind of a random weekend where kids are going to come in. And like you said, you know, the group of 2017 kids is pretty impressive as far as who they brought in. Heck, I mean, you have Jack Anderson, who's going to be, you know, probably likely will be, you know, a pretty highly rated 4-star offensive lineman. You know, Benjamin, who's a pretty talented receiver, hadn't picked up an offer yet from Tech, but really like what he has. And then you have, you know, Anthony Hines, who is a dude that actually has, you know, you joke around and say a guy has 70 offers. The guy has 70 offers already. So, I mean, you know, those guys. And do what?
That's crazy.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's wild that I've never seen a kid have that many offers in my entire life.
No, there's a 2016 kid that is always sending me messages saying that he got it, like, over the past month or two, he just kept sending me message after message, and I'm like, I don't know this kid, I don't know what's going on, but now he has, like, 60-something offers, and, yeah, I mean, I guess it has, and who knows, I don't know, I mean, these kids, I think with, we talked to Jared Maiden last time, you know, with all the different venues there are to play literally year-round football, if you're that good, you know, and you know it and you realize it at a young age, I mean, and your body continues to mature, heck, why not, you know, put yourself out there? I mean, I think it's pretty cool. Obviously, not every kid has the resources or the, you know, the support from the parents financially to travel and do all that. But I want to say Anthony's visited darn near every school that's offered as well or has intentions to. So, you know, good for him. And you mentioned it earlier with the kids taking visits. You know, hey, if my parents knew that college was being paid for and that I just needed to go and glad hand some coaches and figure out which program I like the best, I'm sure they would drive me around the state or,
yeah,
you know, put me in a plane over the summer too. So you just have to kind of figure out where those things go and who they like. I mean, yeah, I mean, this time of year, you just don't know. Nobody expects De'Leon Ward to commit. He's a kid that'll be in town. Hopefully he'll get to see everything he needs to see, get some, you know, some feel good about that decision, maybe even have a chance to talk to some of these other kids. I feel like if I had to choose one player to maybe look out for a commit watch, it would be A.J. Green from DeSoto. And yeah. I know he says he doesn't take too much visits, but I haven't really seen any other visits that, I guess, in comparison to Tech and the things that he said, make me say, oh, well, you know, got to worry about Colorado State or SMU. I mean, I don't see that right now. And I don't know. I feel like Coach Jones and some of the coaches have done some really good jobs so far selling these kids on these various opportunities.
Yeah, and I think just you and I from talking to kids and just kind of knowing what, you know, what kind of influence that Coach Jones has in Dallas Fort Worth, and we talked about it a bunch already, but kids are very receptive to, you know, what he has to say, you know, to their coaches or to them, you know. And I think that, like you said, that really says a lot about how many kids that they've been able to really get in contact with and kind of get an in on here early in this recruiting class. And that even includes a kid like Marvin Terry, you know, who's going to be out here this weekend. So I think it's something that, you know, people wondered how that was going to work out, and that's already working out in spades for Tech.
Yeah, and plus, let's be honest, with where we are, Heck, I mean, and I'm not saying this to talk trash, but if we post an update, I know there's the running joke about kids from Louisiana, but even when we do post other updates or if a kid were to commit, you know, nobody at this time of year is going to think they're a lock or think that they really have a shot. But I'm telling you, you know, we realize that too, but I look at a kid like Marvin Terry, and he's saying all the right things right now. And you look at the connections and you look at everything that's there. And honestly, if you just look at it from the standpoint of if they do like the coaches and if they feel comfortable there, which is really all that matters when all this hoopla is boiled down to the basics, you look at that, if he really does like what Tech has to offer, honestly, just look at the depth chart. I mean, what's there next year? They need kids to come in and play defensive end. They need kids to come in and play outside linebacker. There's real opportunity right now. So if the coaches can do the right opportunity or do the right job selling the opportunity to these kids early on and getting on the right prospects that they want, I mean, I don't know about you, but the kids I talked with, you know, just like you had talked with Coach Gibbs about after media availability, you know, they're saying all the same things. They want to learn multiple sets. They want to prepare for the next level, this, that, and the other. And kids are, you know, as our industry evolves, kids' understanding of the opportunities evolve as well. You know, even Grayton said a kid without a profile and no rating and all that, he said he wants the right opportunity, wants to look at a depth chart. Well, hey, son, I've got 7 scholarship linemen going through spring practices. What do you think about that? You know, I mean, so there's a lot of angles that can be played. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying to look for any type of commitments or anything, but I'm just, you know, kind of speaking towards maybe what the coaches will be showing kids and what they'll do. I mean, the normal junior day type deal is also getting to interact with some of the players, doing a Q&A. You know, I remember that part from last year. And then certainly if the parents are there, taking them around the campus and just showing them a little bit more about student life. But again, you know, more of the academics and some of the big time overview stuff, that would be saved for kids that come back for official visits. This is more so to look into the program and get an idea of kind of what they're all about there, spend some more time around the
coaches. Yeah, and I think that's kind of for people that don't, you know, really understand, you know, what kind of, they're like, what's the difference between a junior day and an official visit? Well, I kind of like you said, I would say the biggest difference is whenever kids come out on a junior day, it's kind of like a general college visit, but kind of focused on, obviously, on the football program. It's just kind of a meet and greet, basically, where you're like, hey, here's what our program is, here's what we do, you know, here's our history, here's what, you know, we as a coaching staff want to do. And you just kind of give kids, for the most part anyway, you just kind of give them the general overview of, you know, this is everything we have to offer, and this is why, you know, we want you to come play at this school. And I think the biggest difference between that and an official visit is on an official visit, it's much more, I think, I think with the kids that they're legitimately interested in anyway, I think it's much more, you know, one-on-one, you know, here's how you specifically fit in, here's, you know, what we want, you know, why we want you specifically to come play for us, you know, here's our relationship, talk to a bunch of our players and get to know them, you know, get a better feel for everything. And I think it's just kind of the intimacy levels are just kind of what kind of separate the two.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, but I mean, just really, that's really kind of all it does. Same thing for unofficials in the summer. I think unofficials in the summer kind of qualify the same as officials, but But yeah, junior day, you're just trying to get, you know, big groups of kids come in. But, you know, speaking of kids that are going to maybe visit, you know, Texas Tech obviously looking to add some more prospects to the 2015 class, have a couple of scholarships left open. And, you know, it kind of feels like, you know, obviously while they missed on a couple of kids they wanted, you know, it kind of, the coaches kind of talked about on signing day how it kind of opened some things up for them to look at, you know, a few maybe late qualifiers out of both high school and junior college. And, you know, a guy that I know you've talked to a little bit, Matt, would be Wilmington, California, Los Angeles, Harvard Community College defensive end, Leo, and please don't judge me if I butch this, Leo Fuimuhano. That's what do you think? How's that score?
Yeah, I'm going to say you owned it, man.
Cool, that works. But anyway, we'll just call him Leo. He's going to visit next weekend while maybe a defensive end prospect that Tech would, you know, obviously like to add for more depth and another player on your defensive line for the next couple of years. So yeah, I guess you kind of share just kind of, you know, you guys really haven't talked yet, but just kind of what do you think about that, man? I think obviously that would be, you know, another big get for them for a late kid to add.
I mean, like we said, and like I mentioned in the update, it's one of those deals where there are they're seeing some holes and seeing some opportunities. Really, I mean, what Coach Kingsbury mentioned in the media availability before the Houston recruiting review, and I think something that he had echoed to you guys there in Lubbock was that they didn't want to reach. They knew that they were spot
yeah.
left. They didn't want to reach. They knew that they had this up and down season and. There were a lot of things, obviously, as you saw on signing day, where, you know, a couple dominoes fell, a couple things went the other way. I mean, they just wanted to make sure they got the guys that they wanted to get, and they didn't want to reach on any prospects. But he made mention that, you know, you take Mike Mitchell, for example, there were other opportunities in the last off season to where, you know, things didn't work out and to where they didn't have spots. And you know, like I said, it takes a genius to figure out what the numbers are, what's available, and all that. And really, you know, you look at a situation, I hate to bring it up, but you look at a situation like a Baker Mayfield, you know, that whole thing blows up in your face. But if for some reason, I just use that as an example, if you don't have those scholarships available or you don't have the opportunities available, at some point it's just like with anyone else's job or with anyone else's decision, you got to learn when to cut bait. Or, you know, you got to make some
yeah.
tough decisions. And so, you know, those were unfortunate, as they described. But, you know, I just think with this one and any other, I mean, I think that there's those Notre Dame offensive lineman transfers been mentioned. They've been in on some of these other kids that have looked for grad transfers and stuff. But, you know, those kids have free reign to do what they need to do. And so those are going to be few and far between. But I think if you look along the lines, that's where they'll look for those guys, unless a really, really good defensive back or a really, really good linebacker pops up. I wouldn't see any other type of kid that would be on their radar, so to say. But, you know, the good part about that is, knock on wood, you know, Tech hasn't been hit with the transfer this year. And, you know, like we've talked about, there's a lot of youth on the roster. So I really think this offseason, there's you know, certainly some options to add. But there's certainly some opportunities for some kids to step up and get into some roles where
yeah.
you know they weren't in the mix before because maybe they were a pup and now they're a little grown up and a little more experienced in the program. So it's a combination of things, but I think you'll continue to see that. I don't think that'll be the last name you see.
No.
Because some of those JUCO kids they're just cramming the books trying to graduate in May and do what they need to do.
Yeah, and I mean, heck, you even look to last year, you know, a guy like, you know, Sam Atoy, who they pick up in late, if I remember right, I mean, it was like June 15th or like June 20th, whenever they got him to, you know, sign with Tech, whenever he qualified, I think at the end of the first summer semester, if I remember right. And, you know, he played a little bit last year and, you know, kind of played a little bit more as the year went on. And I know, just kind of talking to the coaches, you know, I think, you know, they like what, you know, they've gotten out of him so far. And heck, he's listed as, you know, kind of a probable starter and one of Tech's linebacker spots maybe going into the spring. So, So, yeah, I mean, that's another example that worked out. Mike Mitchell is going to be a guy that starts protected linebacker. So, I mean, there's been a ton of opportunities. You know, everybody seems to forget, too, the running back that transferred from Houston, you know, you ended up at West Virginia. But, I mean, Tech is, you know, one coach's decision away down there from him, you know, playing in Lubbock in 2013, maybe 2014. And I mean, you just kind of come down to those kind of things. And like I said, didn't get those opportunities last year. So wouldn't surprise me at all if they come up with some of those transfers. But like you said, I think this is something that's going to keep happening every single year because, to be honest, I think, you know, transfers are kind of something that, you know, in addition to late qualifiers, is something that's just kind of becoming a norm of college football and college football recruiting. And if you aren't doing it, I mean, you're kind of behind the curveball. I mean, heck, how did Baylor, you know, do so well the last 2 years? Go look at how many kids transferred into Baylor. Nobody talks about it at all, but they had a ton of kids transfer in over the last 2 years that became, you know, big-time contributors or starters for them that really kind of helped them out.
Yeah. I mean, it's the name of the game. I think it's one of those deals where you got to just know, I mean – I don't think enough time has gone by, but the coaches have their guys in place. The coaches know what kind of kids they want. And, I mean, everybody points to the failures on the JUCO side, but it's like you go into it and you know that you're kind of rolling the dice. You know. I mean, they know they're not going to get the no-doubt Braden Fajoco four-star, you know, Rivals 100 kid. I mean, they realize that, but they also know that they need bodies, and this is the Big 12, and there's tempo, and college football is getting faster and more spread out and more, you know, zany with the type of offenses that you're facing. And clearly, they did not have the depth last year, and I know that they haven't addressed it with recruiting on, you know, wholeheartedly, but in my opinion, I agree with the fact you don't just take anybody because then you use up all your scholarships, and you've got a bunch of dudes that are on the team, and all due respect to these guys, if you've got Anthony Smith on your roster, you know, taking up a scholarship that aren't contributing to the team. You've got, you know, kids that are, you know, in any mix of the program, and we've talked about this before, who are just simply not contributing. And so it's just a thing where you have to, you know, you have to evaluate what you want. And I think that, you know, guys, I've got to say, without trying to hype it up too much, I mean, Gibbs does not give a you-know-what about what anybody else thinks. He is very comfortable in his own skin. He does his own thing, and he's got his way of doing things. I think it'll help Kingsbury evolve as a head coach because he's not going to have to worry about anything else. He's going to have to just let Gibbs be the head coach of that defense, and I think the experience speaks for itself. But I think also when it comes to player development and when it comes to what he wants in recruiting, he's got his right-hand man, Spavadal, who he's worked with, and he also has some go-getters on the recruiting trail when it comes to Haverty and Curtis, who can go out and get guys that he likes. And his specialty is the secondary, and you've got Mike Smith, who's kind of bringing that workman-like approach to the defensive line based on some of the things that I had read. And with those two things together, combined with just the simple fact that he said, if you're not playing gap integrity, if you're not doing what you're supposed to do on the football field, you just won't be on the field. And so I think that just sends a message, and it's something that just kind of wasn't there before because they're just trying to roll with the best guys, trying to outmaneuver and maybe even try to outman some of these guys. And, you know, you saw the inconsistencies were just glaring. So, you know, that's a guy right now, you know, he's brand new and he's got, you know, all the support in the world right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, I think, you know, just kind of going back to Wednesday's press conference, first one of the spring, just it felt very different to me, you know, talking to all the coaches. I think it's very much don't get me wrong, they've always all been guys that, you know, work really, really hard and have always, you know, done things the right way, in my opinion. But there's very much an attitude among them and the players of last year wasn't good enough. We're going to put our heads down, and we're going to work our tails off, and we're going to compete, and we're just going to be better, and it's simple as that. It's very, you know, kind of, you know, cut and dry, you know, that's all it is. And I think it's something that's kind of refreshing because it's a little bit different, like I said. But But it'll be interesting to see where they kind of go with things this spring. But anyway, you know, that's about all the time we have for tonight. But you got anything else, Matt?
No, I got a message from Donnell. I think his practice or workout ran a little bit late, but we'll get him soon. Especially after the junior day. And we'll line up some more guests next time around. But we just wanted to keep it a little bit shorter this time. And I think we did it, Will. I think we finally did it.
No, we did. Finally did it. No, we got it at right around 30 minutes. So I think we finally did it, man. I think you're right. But anyway, thanks so much for listening, guys. Once again, this is the Victory Bells Podcast. I'm Will McKay. He's Matt Clare. Hope you guys have a fantastic weekend.